going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Into what's going on with the Cavaliers and the Miami Heat in this first round matchup and the rest of the NBA. So on the line, Odyssey Sports NBA insider Danny Green. That's right, Danny Green. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first above everything, and then everything else is second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Danny, always a pleasure to have you on board. How are you?
What's happening, Danny?
I'm doing good, man. Pleasure's all mine. Appreciate you guys having me. It's always great to be here.
I got to tell you, Danny, things are crazy around here. Obviously, the Cavaliers' big win last night, too. NBA or NFL draft is tonight. So just before we get into basketball, I just want to ask you real quick. Were you a Giants fan, Jets fan? Where were you? You grew up right there, right? Was that your team?
I wasn't. I was a fan of certain players. I wasn't really a New York sports fan, except for the Yankees. But most of the New York sports teams, I wasn't really a big fan of. I was a fan of certain players. When I played football, I was a quarterback, so I like certain quarterbacks.
And who was the quarterback you liked the most?
I mean, when I was young, it was like Dan Marino, Steve Young. Like, those are the guys back in the day. And then as I got older, you know, Peyton Manning. There's a bunch of a list of them. But Brett Favre, Aaron Rodgers is one. I mean, you know, now I watch, you know, Lamar Jackson and Pat Mahomes do their thing. But Mike Vick was one. There's a couple guys that I watched and was like, you know, those guys are unbelievable. But Peyton Manning, I was a big Peyton Manning fan.
Hey, let me ask you this, because you understand this feeling of what it's like to sit around and wait to get picked. And you should have been picked earlier, even though we're happy the Cavs were the team that picked you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You should have been a first rounder. I'll just say that. In fact, I think the Cavs owe you some money for that because they made a mistake. So they should send you a check.
I think they made up for it a little bit at the end, but yeah, it was cool.
They did. All right, so they gave you back. But what's it like on draft day, no matter what sport it is?
It's a lot of emotions, a range of emotions, and it's excitement, it's anxiety, you're anxious. And then I said, obviously, as you get drafted, as you see the draft going on, there's a bunch of other emotions that come with it, but it's all a roller coaster of emotions. And I don't think anybody is 100% happy unless you're the number one pick or in the first, like, well, the NFL is 10 rounds. So if you're a first round pick, then you're happy. But for us, there's only 2 rounds in the NBA. And unless you're a lottery, everybody outside of that is a little disappointed. Like, you know, I should have been higher. I should have been, you know, I was better than this guy. I had a better workout. Or I should have been number one. Or, you know, so for me, being in the second round, watching everybody go before you, even more anxious and more, you know, disappointment and some anger, you know, with certain people of being, you know, doubted so much. So it's a range of emotions, though. But all in all, end of the day, it ends up, you know, being a great day and a start to your next chapter, your next career. So it's hard to appreciate it in the moment, but you appreciate it so much more afterwards.
Yeah, let's pick some of the names that were picked before you and start making fun of those guys, right? And we can do that for a little while.
I had a really good draft class, though. I had a really good draft class. So it's going to be hard to make fun of the guys that were ahead of me.
Don't burn bridges, Danny. It's not worth it. Don't burn bridges.
I just thought it'd be fun to say that.
Yeah, I think we had some great guys, and some guys still hanging on. You know, I was the Blake Griffin, James Harden, DeMar DeRozan, you know, all those guys. Brandon Jennings, 2009, we had a really good draft class. So, yeah, it's tough to say. I should have been higher because those guys that were ahead of me were pretty good, and they had pretty good careers too.
All right, Cavaliers got up by 19 points in this game and ended up being a real close game toward the tail end of it. What causes teams to get up by that much? Do you just take your foot off the gas and that's how teams come back, or was there an adjustment that you saw during that Cavs game last night?
I mean, it's the playoffs. Nothing is going to be easy, right? And no team's going to give up, especially Miami, when they have that Heat culture and they fight. You know, Spo makes some good adjustments. You know, Tyler Hero went off, played well. Obviously, Dom went off the fourth and helped y'all. But naturally, you know, it's hard. Naturally, in human nature, it's hard to beat a team multiple times. Also, keep your foot on the gas. And it's hard not to make some mistakes when you're up. But also, you know, you got to remember this is the NBA. And, you know, the game is going to be called differently when you're up 2-0 or when you're up 1-0 and you're up 20. You know, people are going to want to see a game. The referee is going to referee differently. You know, you're not going to be able to play with the same physicality. You know, they're going to give them a chance to get back in the game. So knowing that, especially going into Miami, but being up 2-0, you're going to be that much better to beat them, to be up 3-0, you know? So they're not going to let you walk in their building and beat them. And, you know, they're going to call the game differently. You don't know who your referee staff is going to be. It could be a tight call. It could be a loose, let you guys play. But yeah, you know, everybody knows how it goes with the politics of the game, but it's just not easy beating a team, you know, three times or being up on a team and them not fighting back. It's just going to happen. It's just human nature.
Danny, isn't it crazy that we have to, and I agree with everything you said. We actually had this conversation before that we shouldn't even know the referees' names, man. Let the guys play the game, you know?
For sure. I mean, I get what you're saying. You should not know they shouldn't be some significance of a stature.
Right.
They shouldn't have a name because it's not about them. So I'm with you on that one, but you know, today's world, this is how the world is. You know, it's a little bit softer, more sensitive place, and everybody has, you know, feelings, which is that I acknowledge them, and it's true. But back in the day, you know, I think a lot of the referees took their feelings out of it, let the guys play. You know, technical fouls happen more, and there's more of an emphasis because they want to see more sportsmanship, which I get it. They want to teach these young kids bad habits that are watching the game. But that's what makes the game so great. Is having the emotion in it, right? Allowing guys to show emotion and not get technical fouls. Allowing things to get a little bit chippy without throwing people out the game. It's a physical game. You know, we're competing. They want to win. These are grown men. You got to referee them differently than you would a youth game that's 12 and under, you know?
Yeah, I got to be honest. I can't remember the last time I turned on a TV because I wanted to see Tony Brothers. I wanted to see Danny Green.
It drives me insane. Tough. Tony, I have a great relationship with Tony, but he was always hard to play with as a referee on the floor for me. And, you know, when I talk to him, he jokes about it now. He goes, oh, if you ever get back in, you know, I'll give you some calls. I'm like, a little late now, Tony. but I always knew if I had Tony, I had to be very careful because I was going to get two quick ones probably in that first quarter and have to sit most of the half. But, I get what you're saying. Some referees, I give them credit. It's not an easy job, especially at that older age, to keep up. The game is so fast, the speed of the game. And I know players will never do it, but we need more young, active, or guys that retire players to referee the game. I think it'd be better. We'll have better referees. But I give them a lot of credit. It's hard to do. But some will actually talk to you. Some will listen. Some, you know, some won't. So that's the only issue I have is be consistent and allow us to talk to you. Some guys just think they know it all. Some guys don't care to hear it. And I get you get a lot of people in your ear, the coaches and everybody's on your ass. So you kind of eliminate that. But, you know, as a respected veteran, there's some vets out there and they just trying to approach you and ask what they did wrong. Yeah. Should be able to have a conversation. Adapt and adjust.
Yeah, last point on the referees, just because I want to make it quick. You said something super important just now, that they played the game. There is nothing worse than watching somebody who tried to learn how to referee a game by reading the book. Those are the games I can't stand watching.
It's impossible because, I mean, there's some great journalists out there that never played. You know what I'm saying? So you can be a great referee if you played other sports. It just takes a little bit longer time, I think, to adapt and adjust to it. I think it's just easier for ex-players to know the speed, know because they played it, and know how to referee certain parts of the game. You know, because certain things is not everything is by the book. You know, a lot of it is feel. You know, and you can't teach that unless you've played it or refereed it for a long time. So,
Danny Green joining us. Insider Calls brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. All right, Danny, the Cavaliers hit 11 three-pointers in the second quarter, setting a playoff record for most threes hit in a quarter. What is it like when a whole team catches fire like that? Because that was amazing last night.
Yeah, if you're the opposing team, it's nightmare as hell. When you're the team that's hitting them, you know, it's a great day. You know, it's like, all right, cool. Hopefully we get a couple more games like this in the playoffs because we're going to need them. But you just hope you don't run out of gas and run out of bullets. So you also don't want to get too careless and too free because that's when mistakes happen. So that's the biggest thing about playoffs. It's more mental than physical than anything. And staying locked in regardless of what the score is because there's so much time left in the game. And with the three-point line, every team is in the game because at any moment, the team could jump back in and be in the game. So you just got to mentally stay locked in and not let up at all.
I know the Cavs won that first game by 21 points, and you know they got great play out of Ty Jerome, especially in the fourth quarter. But you kind of watched that game and said, I wish we would have just seen a little bit more out of Evan Mobley in game one, and then boom, he gave it to you in game two. Mm-hmm. Can you assess his play and how important it was to make sure that you know the Cavaliers were able to get somebody other than a guard into the action to make sure that you know they're moving the ball?
That's the story of the Cavs all year long, right? Everybody, they have a bunch of stars. You know, three stars that are really good with Darius, Don, and Evan. But you got a bunch of other guys that are, you know, mini stars that can give you a stardom type game, and they step up. And you expect those guys to be, you know, balanced and give you the same thing night in, night out. But sometimes you don't need that. You know, sometimes Evan will just be a rim protector, roller, and give himself up and open up the floor for guys like Ty Jerome or Max Strus. But he gave you what you needed. He knocked down some threes. He was more aggressive. And so some nights you'll get a night like that out of Jared Allen. You might get that out of DeAndre Hunter. So you have so much depth and so many pieces that not every night that they have the pressure or need to score every night. They can do other things to help win the game, and that's what Don was doing. He's still scoring, but he's leading in other ways, and he's most of the season is taking a back seat and allowing his teammates to kind of flourish and add more value to the team.
Cats are playing 10 guys right now, Danny. Typically playoff rotations tighten up to about, you know, 7 or 8. It's kind of weird to see a team playing 10. What do you think of that?
Not weird. It's a strength. I love it. You know, I think it's best to have that anyway. I mean, teams that go 7 or 8, I think you're really cutting off and it kind of hindering you because, you know, if something happens, like with Golden State, Jimmy gets hurt. Now it's like you got guys like Cam Spencer and Jonathan Kuminga who do not expect to play. Now they're like mentally not ready to be in the game like that, you know? It just makes your team, you know, gives you more weapons, gives you some more depth, and it allows your starters to get some rest and to be fresh for the fourth quarter. You know, Detroit is playing good basketball, but even as young as Cade is, him having to play that many minutes and being in fourth quarter, and you get to games 4, 5, and 6, it's going to be really tough on him to have those legs and be fresh under him when you don't have that type of bench or that type of depth. So this allows Don, Darius, and them to be good and play extra innings and longer stretches and still be fresh for games 5, 6, and 7 if it goes that far in the series.
Danny, is it mythical or is there a change during the playoffs about playing in Miami because – you know, it's like, that's a Miami loss. It's not even a road loss anymore. It's a Miami loss.
It's very different in the playoffs because in the playoffs, you're not going out.
Right.
You're very much focused. You're very much locked in. During a regular season, you might have a couple extra days in there. You know, depending on what your record is, you might be like, we have some time. We've been winning 4 or 5 in a row. You know, let's go out and have a night to hang out a little bit. Or we might stay the night over. Guys might be thinking about it. At this point, guys ain't thinking about nothing but winning. So it's not one of those type of situations. This is the playoffs, and I would hope guys know what's at stake. And
every morning brings a fresh new energy, and no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Take it seriously.
I don't. I mean, being able to travel for a little bit around the league, I always felt like going to Miami was like
that's a thing.
It's such a transient crowd. Like, it's not the same kind of crowd that you would get anywhere. No. Like, I think when they know the Heat are done, they know they're done and they're walking out. They're walking out of the arena.
Yeah,
it's not, they don't.
Sure. I mean, that's a big city crowd mostly, unless you said it's different in like a Boston or New York. But you look at the LAs, the Chicago, like the big city crowds are like that, and especially cities where there's so much to do. They're kind of spoiled in that sense, because there's so many things, so much else other going on. They don't need to be there for the game. You know, it's just it's another thing to do for them.
All right, Danny, did you see Darius Garland's comments after the game about Tyler Hero?
I did. I did not.
I've got them for you here. I'm a little worried you said the quiet part out loud, okay? Here's Darius Garland after the game.
What's the key to playing clean basketball like that against a team like that?
Pick on Tyler Hero and take care of the ball. Don't play in tight spaces and pick on their weak defenders. Go at them.
What do you think?
I agree with the whole second part. He didn't have to say the name.
Yeah. Don't say it out loud.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I'm Tyler, I'm going to take it a little more personal at this point. Probably on offensive end more than defensive end, but he'll still lock in defensively. But that's what the playoffs is about, right? You try to get the mismatches. You try to get your star players to play against weaker defenders and cause mismatches to where you get open shots for your team. And that's mostly pick and rolls to get the switches, regardless of who's on the floor, who's not. Like, that's just how it is. And that's what, especially even if he wasn't a weak defender, he's so good offensively for them, it's to wear him down. Just like Steph Curry, just like Luka Doncic, like just even Anthony Edwards, even though he's a great defender, it'd be silly to not put him in action on defense. It would be silly to not make him work on defense and make him guard some, you know? So that's just how it is.
Do you think he walks off the dais last night going, I wish I wouldn't have said that? Or at some point, someone's like, maybe I shouldn't have said that.
There's always some instances where you're like, damn, I probably shouldn't have said that.
But then I always think back to like Larry Bird, and I think about, Jordan. I mean, those guys never said it out loud. I know. They'd say it out loud during the game, but they wouldn't say it on the dais.
They'll say it that they wasn't bashful.
No.
I mean, one guy spent the whole half shooting with his left hand just to prove a point.
Yeah. Well, it's part of the game, man. New school, they said you don't want to give everything away and who you're targeting, but that's just how it goes sometimes. And said slip-ups happen, but either way, they're up 2-0, and, I'm sure he's probably thinking he probably said it differently, but, he's not disingenuous. He's telling the truth of how he's approaching things.
All right, let's wrap around the rest of the games. Jimmy Butler might be out for a period of time with that one. How much of a brutal hit for Golden State is that?
Huge. Huge, as you've seen. They were in disarray last night, playing random different guys that I haven't seen in a while. I was like, wow, is Cam Spence on the floor? What's going on? I'd missed the injury. Then I saw him like, oh, damn, Jimmy's out. And then he's playing Kuminga. So it's going to be different rotations for them. And it changed the dynamic. Now they can key on Steph even more. They get less free throws. You know how good Jimmy is with drawing fouls. So hopefully he's not out for too much longer, because this honestly gives Houston probably, if he's out for two games, it gives them a two-game head start,
All right, we only got about a minute left. Just kind of give me your full wrap on the playoffs right now. Like, you still think we're heading in the same direction as we were talking last week? And should we still kind of be hoping for Boston-Cleveland here, Eastern Conference?
I think it's heading in the same direction we spoke about. Those are the top two juggernauts. Milwaukee's not looking that great. Indiana's playing a good pace. New York is very up and down. They don't look as good as I thought they would be. But Detroit's playing, gotta give credit to Detroit. It's the playoffs. It's not easy. Even Boston, Jason Tatum being out, Orlando played well. But if they get healthy, if they're healthy, that's going to be the team, and that's going to be a tough one to beat.
Danny, as always, we know we love talking to you. Next time, we're going to get more football breakdown from you, though. I love it. I love the quarterback talk.
I haven't watched it in a while, but, yeah, I'm all for it, man. I'll get more into it. So, yeah.
All good. Danny, thank you. We appreciate you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
Talk to you soon.
Appreciate you.
What do you want the Browns to do? What do you want them to do? It does feel like Travis Hunter's name is going to get called. That's pretty much what everybody said. I don't know. Do you trust the Browns to do the norm, or do you think they're going to walk up there at the last second and go, I got a phone call. We're going to trade this pick. Or, maybe this isn't what we want to do. Maybe we do want Abdul Carter. Maybe we're looking at Ashton Jeanty. That might throw, a little bit of wrinkle into everything that's going on in the draft. And it'll be interesting to see, because the Browns still seem to hold the keys to the draft. As long as there's any, mystery to the fact that the Browns might not take Travis Hunter. There's been a lot of, just talk about, teams trying to move up, maybe Dallas trying to get up into the number two spot to take Travis Hunter, or another team that's looking to get up to try to do that. There's also talk about teams trying to move ahead of Pittsburgh to go get Shedeur Sanders, excuse me. Still a little bit of rumbling here, a little bit of rumbling there to see what the Browns are going to do. So, Dan, your thoughts on, we sit here at 1:30 in the afternoon with the draft tonight at 8, and what's this team going to do tonight?
I think they're going to take Travis Hunter. They're going to be over the moon at the fact that they have Travis Hunter. They're going to have a plan together of what to do with him. And I have a feeling that is going to be the end of the night for the Cleveland Browns. They're going to sit back and they're going to let the rest of the draft come to them, knowing that they hold all the cards to start the second round.
You don't think in any way, shape, or form they try to jump from even all they have to do is go from 33 to 32 to get back into the first round. It's one spot, but yet it's also a situation where you can hang on to a guy for another year because of his contract. Is it worth one spot to be able to do that?
Your GM told you that they don't put much emphasis on the fifth-year option. In fact, here's your GM from his press availability on April 17th.
How much value do you place on the fifth-year option where you're 33, where it would be worth giving up some kind of asset to move back to the first round?
Honestly, not a ton.
There you go.
Okay, so there's a little bit
right there.
He tells you there's a little bit there. He said a little bit.
Honestly, not a ton. It's exactly what he said. Honestly, not a ton. Which is another way of saying we don't really put much impact on this whatsoever. I think they sit there at 33. I can't see them giving up assets to move back up into this draft. I can't see there being a run of quarterbacks. Andy, I got feeling tonight we are going to end up right where we started. I think we did a full circle around this draft. And we're going to end up right where we started, which is a bunch of teams sitting back and going, these quarterbacks aren't all that good. Why am I going to reach for these quarterbacks? These quarterbacks are not what, you know, they're not surefire things. They're all developmental and not developmental in that, oh, yes, we can start them and they'll get better as they go. No, developmental in like, we have to let these guys sit. And these guys aren't the level of talent that we need to take over. There's no Jaden Daniels. There's no JJ McCarthy. There is no Michael Penix. There is no Bo Nix. These guys need time. And I think that's where we are starting to end right back up with. Where I think at 33, you are going to have your pick. Maybe somebody reaches for Jackson Dart. That would be the only one that I could see. I have a feeling we are going to be sitting here at 33 going, all right, we could either go best Buckeye running back. We could go Jalen Milroe. We could go Tyler Shuck. We could go Jackson Dart. I think that's where this thing ends. I really think we're coming back right where we started. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, but if you're Philadelphia, like, and you know that the Browns probably aren't going to take a player that you want, and you've got 32, right? And the Browns are like, yeah, we'll give you a third-round pick. Just switch up with us one spot. I don't know. It's a third-round pick seems pretty heavy, but we'll give you a, we'll give you a later rounds, even a four or five. I don't know if we'll give you our six. We'll give you six. And I mean, would you take it?
No, nobody's trading. Nobody's taking sixth and seventh round picks for this kind of stuff. Why? Like, so no one's moving up for sixth and seventh round
but
picks.
But let's be
They're
honest.
Sixth and seventh round
the
picks.
Difference between, like, Philly, if you're Philly and you jump back to 33, one spot.
Philly just lost a bunch of dudes.
So, like, yeah, so players. There you go. You get to, you pick up another draft pick.
They need top tier players. They just lost both their pass rushers.
If you're Philly and you don't think the Browns are going to take who you're going to take at 32, I mean, it's really just a contractual thing at that point. You're the Browns. You're trying to just jump up one spot with Philly. And you tell Philly, hey, who do you guys want? Who are you going to take? We'll tell you who we're going to take. Yeah, and we're going to tell you, if you don't want that guy, we're going to give you a fifth-round pick or whatever. We just got to go one spot. We're looking for the contract here because we're going to take a quarterback.
The GM just told you the contract doesn't matter.
It would matter. Come on. You don't really think it would matter on a fifth-year option for some of these guys?
No.
I think you're wrong. No. I think you're wrong. So let's just say that Jalen Milroe is the man. And that Jalen Milroe is everything that people think he could be. Is it not worth a late-round pick to switch with Philly for one spot for a guy they're not going to take? And no. We have so many Philly connections over there, too, right? I mean, we're tight with Philly. Well, we're friends with them.
Well, why am I going to give that up when I could just wait one pick? Like, that's the question. Why am I going to give that up when I could just wait one pick? Your GM just told you.
Because
the
you're not worried
matter.
About the one pick. You're worried about the contract. It's
it
not
matter.
About the pick. But if Jalen Milroe is everything you think he is and you think he's worth it, don't you want that fifth year? Yes.
No, because then I could get out.
Yes.
Because then I could get out.
You're not going to want to get out.
Then I can pay him. I mean, that's the whole thing. If the Browns are in a situation where you don't have an answer after 4 years on a guy, you probably have an answer. The only way you don't run into that situation is if it's Jordan Love and you've had him sitting for 3 years. I highly doubt whoever the Browns take at 33 is going to sit for 3 years and we're going to have ourselves a conversation. I highly, highly doubt
that. If there was one position you were going to have a guy who was going to sit for maybe a year, who would it be? And here's the other problem. You're not drafting a quarterback.
To make my answer.
Well, you're also not drafting a quarterback in the first round if you're not going to play within a year, year and a half. If you draft a quarterback even at 32, he's going to be playing by the end of the year. He's probably going to be playing by the end of the year.
Yeah, they'll play him in week 15, week 16, something like that. And he'll probably be
unless
in a better
Deshaun's
place.
Unless Deshaun's ready.
You have to throw him, don't you? There's, I will bet you.
I'm not betting anything. I don't think Deshaun's playing.
Say, I would not bet on it.
I don't think Deshaun's playing, okay? But I do see a path. Well, I do see a path.
I don't.
I
off of a torn Achilles, especially the second torn Achilles.
How many times would teams go through 2-3 quarterbacks a year? You got a guy who's ready, week 16. We need a quarterback. What are you going to do? We got to bring somebody in. And we're paying this guy already. We don't even have to bring him in. Help me. All right, your final thoughts on the draft with us, Baskin and Phelps, with Dan Menigan. They are next, 216-474-0092. What will they do? What do you want them to do? Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan.